the cross for them. Thank you for the teachers that give them spiritual nurture each and every Sunday. Pray now you'd bless them as they depart for their classes. Lord, also we're mindful of this week being Mission Week, Mission Fest going on in Vancouver this day, and our own Christina Adji giving a seminar on her work and her ministry of being involved with reaching out to Syrians in that place that is often so war-torn. We pray for Christina that you would bless her as she speaks and gives her seminar today at 2 o'clock. We also pray for so many other Christian organizations that send forth missionaries to so many diverse places in our world. We commit them into your hands, Lord, as it's a difficult task. Yet you call us to share that love that you give to us, to the nations. It's not something just to be held on for ourselves, but it's to be spread abroad. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day that we give to you in honoring you, to follow you as your disciples. Pray now for Pastor Jim as he comes and leads us in speaking forth your word and your truth to our hearts and the purpose of a disciple. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Jim.
I materialized. It's what's that called? The transporter from there to here. Yeah, anyway. Well, good morning. As always, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Jim, and I'm one of the people here that preaches once in a while. Okay, and you're most welcome to be with us. And if you're new or if you're a visitor, welcome. Westwood loves you, and we're glad to see you here. Just one thought just before I begin. I want to thank the worship team. The choice of songs this morning so much fits where we're going to go. And I hope that you, as I speak, you're going to listen and you're going to say, yeah, that's what that song was about. Yeah, that song. You know, and it's going to just all fit together, I think, by the time you see it in the end. You know, we've been, at the end of last year, we decided that we needed a mission statement. And so we met together and we put together this mission statement that has now become the mission statement for our church. And I think we have to start from there today. I'm going to ask you to join me and we're going to read it together. Okay, you ready? It's up on the screen for you. To make devoted followers of Jesus Christ who love and live so as to lead all people to God. Yeah, so as to lead all people to God. You know, the reason I say this is because over the last 2 weeks, Pastor Larry's been talking about discipleship. The calling of a disciple and the following of a disciple last week. But you know, you may ask yourself, well, what exactly is a disciple? You know, and that would be a fair enough question. Let's narrow it down a little bit. Let's talk about what it means. You know, a dictionary definition would sound something like this. One who accepts and assists in the spreading of the teachings or doctrines of another. Okay? It's a pretty good definition. It's what Merriam-Webster at least thinks about it. And the key words there are accepts and assists in spreading. Okay? And at this point, you're probably saying to yourself, that sounds a lot like a devoted follower in our mission statement, doesn't it? And in fact, you would win the prize. For putting those two together. If you haven't already put them together before now, you win the prize. I won't tell you what the prize is. That's a secret for later. A disciple and a devoted follower should be the same thing. So when we talk of disciples, we should be talking about of devoted followers, which should be, in turn, us. That's where we're going. Now, we may say to ourselves, wait a minute here, I thought that the disciples were the 12 who knew and followed Jesus during his ministry on earth. Yes, they were disciples, but they weren't the only ones. And this is something that we have to bear in mind. They weren't the only ones referred to in the Bible. In fact, the Bible indicates that there were many others in that same time who were called disciples, who also followed. These 12 later became the apostles, called the apostles. And so maybe in some ways it would help us if we referred to them that way as the apostles as opposed to the disciples, because there were lots more disciples. Lots more. In fact, in Luke, where he sends out the 72, they are disciples And so that means there were at least 72 by then. And later on, 500, and then the numbers just go up. In the book of Acts, believers in the cities that Paul and others went to were often referred to as disciples. Disciples. So it's a much broader word than just the 12 apostles. Much broader. In other words, here we go. Even these many centuries later, through the fogs of history and time that have passed, the disciples still exist. They are you and I. You and I. Considering how significant the word disciple is in the Bible, I can't help but ask myself the question, how effective or dedicated am I as a disciple? How effective or dedicated am I? And that's the heart of where I would like to go today with our conversation. You may have probably noticed already that the Bible indicates that today's message is based on a fairly long portion out of Matthew 10. And you can see it right there on the bulletin. It says Matthew 10, verses, I think it's 22 to 42 or something like that. I don't have it in my hand, so I can't tell you that. And even though we are not going to read that whole portion, it's important to recognize the context of the two verses that I'm going to focus on, okay? So I'm going to focus on two verses out of all of that. But there is a context there. Because in chapter 10, we are told that Jesus was sending out the 12 main disciples, the 12 apostles, to carry the message of the Messiah to the surrounding towns. He warns them that they will face persecution, just as he does. And in verses 24 to 26, or 25 in this case, here's what we really want to hit down on. Jesus tells them and us these words: the student is not above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. Okay? It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. And though these words had a very special and specific context in terms of persecution, I think we can also expand them into a broader sense, can't we? That's just a general rule. That disciples, they should be accepting of the fact that it is enough for them to be like their teachers, and just like servants are like their masters. So I'm going to be looking at that from sort of a broader kind of a context today. And that statement is particularly important when we look at today's topic, the purpose of a disciple. The purpose of a disciple. Now, that whole idea of purpose and you know, people saying, what is your purpose and all that kind of thing, has become kind of trite in our world. People use it, and they use it without thinking in many cases, and they say, oh yeah, living with purpose. Oh, you've got to live with purpose. Have you heard that kind of a comment? You've got to have purposeful living. Okay, is what it is. But they fail to really define what a purpose is. And I sometimes think that some of the people who say this don't really understand what the word means. You see, because not just any purpose will do to start with. There are some purposes that are worth living for and some that are not. And so we've got to be more delicate in the way we handle that sort of a concept of purpose. Here's the other thing we need to know. Purpose is the why of what we do. Sometimes people mix it up with the goals. The goals we aim for are what we seek to accomplish. But why do we seek to accomplish those goals? Why do we even bother to do them? That's the purpose. The purpose pulls us to the reason behind. That's the realm of it. You know, I think of, I've used this one with you, I think an airplane analogy. You're riding, sitting on an airplane, if in my case you're sitting in steerage somewhere way near the back, because of course I'm cheap. And the pilot comes on, the loudspeaker, and he says, excuse me if you've heard this before, but I'm old, so I repeat stories. The pilot says, I've got some good news for you and some bad news for you. The good news is we're making great time. The bad news is we don't know where we're going. And that very often is the way people live life. They make great time. You get to a point in life where you say, boy, where did the years go? I say that every morning when I get up and look in the mirror. Where did the years go? Time goes by. And we make great time. But we just don't know where we're going. And that's the difference between, you know, purpose, knowing your purpose and not knowing your purpose. When you know your purpose, then you can truly say, we're making great time. Because you know where you're headed. You know what needs to be accomplished. Knowing the purpose keeps us focused on the value of what we do. On the value of what we do and how we need to do it. It gives the understandings that underpin those things. Okay, this takes us back to our desire to become dedicated followers, disciples. If I truly want to be a good disciple, my first task is recognizing what a disciple's purpose is. Why am I a disciple? What is the purpose behind my even being there, being existing as one? And again, I hear those words from Matthew. It is enough for a student to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. So what am I saying? I guess I'm saying then is that as much as possible, our purpose should be the same as Jesus. It should be the same as Jesus. Then the question that follows that is, well, what was Jesus' purpose? What was his purpose? Oh, some of you say, that's easy to answer. Oh, no problem at all. Let's see. Let's look at Luke 19:10. What does it say there? It says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. There's his purpose. Okay? Or they'll say, oh, how about John 3:17? Maybe they'll hold up a sign that says John 3:17, you know, like they do in the stadiums, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. There is his purpose. It's a wonderful picture of Emmanuel, isn't it? God with us, sent to save us through the shedding of his blood. Beautiful picture. And that's part of what we were singing about today, clinging to the old rugged cross. But I'm going to shock you. I'm going to shock you here. And before the word heretic jumps to your lips, hear me out, okay? Because I've got a surprise for you, I think. Can I suggest to you that the salvation of man was not Jesus' primary purpose? It was not his primary purpose. I can see some of you looking at me ready to shake your heads and say, what are you talking about? Here's the point. It is an important purpose, but it's not the primary one. Let's look at John 17, verses 1 to 4, shall we? After Jesus said this, now this was his high priestly prayer when he's in the garden, right? After he's talked to his disciples and he's gone and he starts to pray. And so he's praying. This is one of the most important portions of Scripture in the Gospels. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that, and that's a conjunction, what we call a conjunction of purpose, right? The purpose is coming. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. See the difference? There's a difference there. Continue. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. And suddenly we see the purpose. The purpose of Jesus coming to this earth was to bring glory to the Father. To bring glory to the Father. The method he used to do that was salvation for people. That's how he did it. But the purpose was to bring glory to the Father. Really, some of you are saying that was what it was all about? Yes. God loves you and even me. But he also wants us to acknowledge that he is the omnipotent, all-creating God. He is the God who has a plan for giving us new life. It's his plan. And that Jesus' death and resurrection is that plan. And when we proclaim these things, when we proclaim Jesus is Lord, we are giving God the glory. We are giving the Father the glory. In fact, when we talked about the love of God coming to this earth, this is the critical way that we show our love for God in return, is by giving him the glory. I think of those words of Hosea 6:6, one of the most commonly used verses that Jesus used in the Gospels, as he reminded people of the verses of Hosea 6:6. And he uses the first part of it, assuming, and this is a thing that you need to understand about the Bible. In most cases, he will use just the first line, and in general, what that would mean is that people were to think of the rest of the verse, the whole verse, the whole section. What is Hosea 6:6? It says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And here's the part. An acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. God wants acknowledgement of who he is rather than burnt offerings. That's what counts. And when we acknowledge who he is, we glorify him. We have a problem in the Western world with the English word glorify. I've got to say this. And I was thinking about how I make this point. We have a problem with it. Because we've got this mental set, this worldview that everybody's equal and everybody's important. Everybody's special, right? So why should I glorify anybody, right? Why should I do that? And yet at the same time, our society is willing to glorify entertainers. Honestly, have you seen some of these people? Why should we glorify them, to be honest with you? And we glorify athletes. Okay, so a guy's got a 36-inch, you know, vertical leap. Big deal. Does that make him a worthwhile, you know, somebody we should be, you know, making a special deal? But we do that. We do that. We glorify these people. And we think nothing about glorifying them because we're saying how worthy they are. Well, folks, we're talking about the omnipotent God. We're talking about the one who created us and everything around us. Surely he's worth so much more. And yet we have a hard time with the word glorify. Jesus came to save sinners, yes, so that they would join in recognizing the Father's glory, so that they would join in worship and adoration of the one to whom we owe absolutely everything. That's quite a different purpose than most people think, isn't it? That's quite different. And just so you don't think I'm making it up from one verse, because sometimes pastors have been known to do that, you know, usually they're on television and they're... No, I'm not going there. Let's just point out that it shows up elsewhere. Paul recognized it in Philippians 2, and the reading is there. And being found in appearance as a man, talking of Jesus, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death and even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? To the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. I had a reading in out of Hebrews for you there. Yeah, we'll use that one. There's so many more that sometimes. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. See, again, this is what it's all about. This is what we're called to. This is our purpose. It is our purpose. And then, of course, if you go to the book of Revelations, it's full of the heavens glorifying God. Just like we sang about the Revelation song, you know. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, right? Yeah. It's full of it. And just so that you don't think that, you know, other theologians said that this is anything new with me, because it's not, this understanding. The writers of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, one of the first things they say is, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We should memorize that one, shouldn't we? That is so good. Man's chief end is to and enjoy him forever. Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, folks. Now, I know some of you may feel like I'm being, you know, this is theological nitpicking, but it isn't. And I'll tell you why it isn't. If Jesus' ultimate purpose in taking on flesh and suffering and dying on the cross was to bring glory to the Father, and if we are to be more Christ-like as disciples, then it must also be our purpose. It must also be our purpose. Actually, it does actually sound like our mission statement, doesn't it? To make devoted followers of Jesus Christ who love and live so as to lead all people to God. Once we understand that that's our purpose, and it should be our purpose, that it must be the same as Jesus, to bring glory to God, it should inform how we live the rest of our lives. It should call us to living purposefully as disciples. Purposefully. Here's what it shows me. If I'm going to live my life purposefully as a disciple, I've thought of three areas in which it must show up. It must show up on a personal level, personally. If I want to bring glory to God, I have to live as God has called me to live. When I live in accordance to his commands. And please, I'm not talking about the legalism that plagued the church for so many years, thou shalt not do this or that, and the list of rules that we had sometimes, and, the holiness movement, where we got sidetracked on those kind of things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the commands that come from God that you would find in his word. And it says, this is how to live. When I live in accordance to his commands, I'm saying that God's way is the right way. And if I'm saying God's way is the right way, what am I doing? I'm glorifying God, aren't I? I'm giving him honor. I'm saying that he is that good, that he knows those things. By the way, if you want to see what I'm talking about, you want to sort of look back and review what that means in terms of personal, I can think of no better short manual than Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7, where he talks about judging and forgiving and, all those kinds of things. That's where we need to be. And in being that, we give honor to him. We glorify him. We glorify him. In 1 Peter 3, we read, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And here's the key words. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. A holy life is a message to the world about our God. It's a message to the world about our God. Of course, why would a pastor in an Alliance church be speaking about holiness? Because it's part of our DNA, isn't it? We are a holiness church. I need to do these things to bring me into as close a communion with God as possible. I need to spend time with God, listening for his voice, reading his word. I need to be sensitive to his spirit and what his spirit is saying to me. I also glorify God by trying to learn more about him. Starting on February 3rd, we're going to be holding something called a Festival of Learning. We're going to run classes for about 5 weeks. That's all we're going to ask for, 5 weeks. This is the commercial, right? 5 weeks of your time, okay? For those who are newer to the faith, or who have questions, or are just simply looking to better understand what we believe, this is a way for you to learn more about your God. Pastor Larry's going to be teaching a session on foundations. That would be a good place to be and to learn more about your God. You can sign up at the registration table, which migrates around the building sometimes, but I think today is in the connections room, okay? And Eileen, our deacon of Christian education, will be there, and she'll help you sign up. Think about it. Sign up for this opportunity. This is one way of bringing honor to God, is by learning more about him. This is one way of doing it. And all we're asking for is about an hour each Sunday for 5 weeks. That's it. Five, six, I'm not sure which. The average, about five. But doesn't end there. I also need to live purposefully in community. In community. And by community, I mean here in the community of Christians. The principal thought here is that the church is the body of Christ. Therefore, when we honor the church, we glorify God. You see how this begins to impact everything we think of, right? We honor God. How do I glorify God in the community? We're meant to spur each other on to greater faith, to encourage each other to, you know, when times are tough, when times are good, to sometimes correct each other, but always to love one another. Always to love one another. We worship together. We declare His worth. We pray together. We study together. We laugh together. We cry together. That's glorifying God. And we help each other to glorify God. So how do I, as a member of the church, make this all happen in our community? Well, for sure, I regularly attend church services, don't I? And I don't mean just bodily, you know, where you walk in the door and you go to sleep or read the long portion of scripture that the pastor was said. Never mind. But the point is, you got to be intellectually and emotionally involved in what's happening, even when the pastor's long-winded and boring, okay? That's just the way it's got to be. You got to be there, not just body, but in heart. But think of the opportunities to do those things, encourage, cry, you know, be with people, you know, community groups, mentoring one-on-one, you know, fellowship groups, opportunities like men's breakfast, you know, that's coming up next week. I know there are seasons of life with demands on time which make things difficult. I get that. But what that means is not that we give up those things, but we are better disciplined in apportioning our time. By the way, the root word for disciple and discipline is the same word. Think on that one. Let's see. TV or men's group? TV or men's group? You know? Those are the kind of decisions I'm talking about. Okay? Even our giving financially to fulfill the purposes of the church is the way that we honor God. Our giving is saying to God that He is worth what I can give to His service in the way of my wealth. What I have comes from Him, and what I give is for His glory. It's easy to forget that giving is a form of worship. But it is. But you know, you need to have confidence in the fact that when you give here, that money is used well. That's part. And it's a responsibility too, because you should be saying that. Do we use it well? And we must use what we give well. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite Larry Savage up to the front at the moment. In January, Larry Savage often gives a financial update for the year ending. And since it's part of what we're doing here, it's part of our purpose, I'm going to invite Larry to do that right now.
I'm live. Thanks, Pastor Jim. And speaking of giving, as you know, we just finished 2018. And it was a year that we were having doubts as to where we were at, because we kept on running behind what we had budgeted. But on the other hand, we also underspent what we budgeted. So overall, we actually ended up pretty good. And as you can see, in all of our four funds, general, missions, building, and benevolence, we had a net surplus of $64,945. Next slide, please. And to break that down, those four funds, we have our general fund where we had a surplus of $32,000. That's part of that $64,000. And just to show you how that was made up, you can see there was only four months where we had more income than expenses. And this last month of December, which is history to this church, where we always have a large giving at the end of the year, and from what I understand, that comes from perhaps a dozen people or so in the church between all three congregations. that only give annually, so not monthly or weekly or whatever like most of us do. So they give annually, and that's why we always have this big jump, and that's why we always come over at the top. So praise the Lord. Next slide. And where we are at budget-wise, there's our budget line of what we hope to have gotten in and what we budgeted for. But as you can see, every month we were falling behind our budget, okay, which didn't look good all throughout the year. We were sort of sweating, but we trusted God. As far as our next slide, the budgeted expenses, again, here is our budget line for what we plan to spend. And again, we kept on underspending, which is a good thing. So that offset the underfunding. And where did we spend our money? Well, as you can see, the biggest part went to salaries and benefits, $527,000. And then we have repairs and maintenance, the next largest, $63,000. Administration and operations, $31,000. And then we had children's ministries at 23, followed by utilities at 20. Next slide. And then we have our missions fund, and part of our surplus came from $25,000 in surplus from missions. Next. And you can see here, the blue line, of course, is the actual income. And so we only had three months where our actual expenses was more than our income. And the reason for those two is because that's when we sent out our checks to National Office to the Global Advance Fund. And here's a split of where we sent our missions funds to: Global Advance, short-term local missions, missionary support, short-term missions for First Nations, overseas short-term missions, and support to Joe and Cora, our IWs in China. And thirdly, the building fund, we had $2,990 surplus. And what happened here was every month we were running pretty steady. But this month we had an actual income of over $16,000 that month. So without that, we would have been had a deficit. And here's where we spend the money in our building fund. $51,000 goes towards the loan principal. $19,603 goes to loan, and then $15,000 for property improvements and capital expenditures. And lastly, the benevolent fund, we had $3,735 surplus. And again, the spike here is in November. That's where we purchased all of our gift cards for Save On Foods to give out to our low-income families. And just another summary on our building loan. We started the year with $608,000. We paid off $51,000 in principal, so our balance at the end of this year is $557,000. So when you consider we started our building loan back 5 years ago, we had a $1.3 million debt, of which we raised money for, and we had a loan from district of over $800,000. We've done well in 5 years. The Syrian Fund summary. We started the year with $94,000 left, and that's after one family being completely supported for 1 year. We now have, at the end of this year, we didn't have any income, just expenses, so we're now down to $48,000. And come March, we will be finishing our second family as far as our support. So it looks like we will have a surplus. And lastly, Joe and Cora, church has done well. We've given $9,000 towards their work specials, and that's for their ministry, where they're at. $3,650 has come from Westwood Alliance Church Missions Fund, and this has been 1985 is what other people have donated for their support. So praise God, and I just want to say thank you all for contributing and being obedient to giving of your tithes and offerings. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry, for that. What I wanted you to see out of this is that because of the giving of the people of Westwood, we've been able to do much to glorify our God. That's what this is all about, is giving to glorify Him. But I would be failing you if I didn't tell you that even with the giving of the gift cards and all the wonderful things that we've done, there are so many other worthwhile things we could be yet doing. And, you know, frankly, maybe I'm too ambitious, but I want to do everything that we possibly can. I want to reach the world with what we, you know, if there's an opportunity out there, I want to take it. Forgive me. There's one other very important thing that we want to mention about bringing glory to God in our community, and that's baptism. Baptism is publicly proclaiming that God has done a wonderful work in our lives. It's also signifying that we're ready to be involved in the community. We want to be part of the body of Christ. And I hope that there are all kinds of you who haven't been baptized but want to be baptized this time around. And you're saying, yes, I need to be this. But I need to remind you, this is the last day to hand in your application for baptism at Easter. I need to remind you of that. And you've seen again, during our Festival of Learning, Pastor Joe will be hosting the baptism and membership preparation classes. And if you want to be involved in that, the table is in the connections room, please. Third thing, and I guess I'm going to run a little long, guys, today. I'll try and draw it quickly, okay? We need to be worshiping and honoring God in the world. We need to remind ourselves over and over that Jesus does provide salvation. By saving anyone who believes in Him, Jesus has brought and is bringing more countless souls to glorify the Father, both here and one day in heaven, than we could even begin to know or understand. What does that mean for us now? It means that we must make disciples of whoever we can so that together we will reach more than we ever could individually. I don't know if you remember that old commercial. I told two friends and they told two friends and they told two friends. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about multiplication of discipleship. If Jesus' purpose to bring glory to God is also our purpose, and it should be, then Jesus' command in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples should be ringing in our ears right now. It should be saying, yes, it's not a polite request, nor is it merely a command. It should be at the heart of who we are as disciples. You know, again, I can't help but think of Jesus' prayer to the Father in John 17, where He says, I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message, through the message of the disciples. Through the message of the disciples, okay? Have I provided that message to anyone? Is Jesus there in that prayer praying for someone because our church reached them? I hope so. Or is there somebody else who's a better disciple than me going to reach them instead? Worse yet, is no one going to reach them? These are all questions that we have to ask ourselves. You know, it also gives meaning, doesn't it, more to Luke 15, where it talks about a party in heaven when one reaches? It should. By the way, if you want to know more about ways of reaching people, Festival of Learning, Becoming a Contagious Christian, which we'll be teaching, tools that you can use to reach people, okay? And please, think about that. I think about so many examples of people who live their lives with words like, give me one more to say for Jesus on their lips, who live their lives that way. You know, I think about also voices singing in heaven. You know, we sang about here in Revelation song, worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. These are the songs we're going to hear in heaven. And the voices, the space is endless. We should be trying to fill it up. More more voices for heaven, more voices to glorify God. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all of them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And when we hear that in heaven, when we hear that in heaven, then we will have fulfilled our purpose, won't we? We'll be able to say, look, the time has come. The time has come. The heavens are filled. You know, just as I end, I have to say two things. And I know, as I say, we're running long. It's an old-time preacher. You got to get used to that. Number one, if this hasn't been your purpose in life, pray about it. Think about it. You know, and spend some time and ask God's guidance. The Holy Spirit is wonderful and sweet and beautiful. He will guide you. Think about that. And if you haven't even chosen to accept God's gift of salvation, if that's not something you've done yet, or you're still thinking or considering or want to know more, please. Elders, stand, please. Elders, Larry, is Robin here? Not here. Pastors, deacons, these people are here for you. If you truly want to know more about God, if you want to know what salvation looks like, talk to one of them. Don't walk away today without doing that. Just don't do it. It's too important. I beg of you. Pastor Larry, do you want to come and finish our service? Now that I've run it over, way over time.
Hello. Let's stand together to receive the benediction this morning. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Again, I got an application for baptism today. Last day for turning in your baptism application forms. Baptism is one of the commands of Christ. We need to engage with that. There are applications forms out in the foyer. Please avail yourselves of those. Also, today we got so many things happening. Learning Festival, you need to talk to Eileen Christensen. I always mix her first name and her last name up, but I think that's maybe even a good thing because she is a Christian, right? She's sitting right down there. You'll want to talk to her. She'll be in the connections room with the sign-up sheet for those three classes we talked about. You need to be doing that this week so that we can know in the beginning of February to start our classes. Also, if you look at your thing that's happening here, on the 5th we have our men's group on the Saturday. That's the 26th of this week. Next week we're going to be taking up an offering. Be passing the offering bags around in the service. So prepare yourself by writing out a check, putting it in one of those little brown envelopes. And I think there's some in the pews behind you and in front of you. If not, you can talk to the reception desk around the corner and ask them if you can have some of those offering envelopes to give regularly to the church, as we've had a mind to and been told to this morning. Right now, media is something that we use in way of training, in way of help to better our family life at home, and also to understand our Christian life better. So if you want to have access to that information and literally thousands of different videos, you can come and talk to myself or Eileen, and she will sign you up and invite you to come through an email. So you'll need to give her your email to do that. So God bless you as you go into your week. Remember, this 23rd is also our time where we meet together here at the room downstairs, 7 o'clock, and you'll meet people like Rick and Larry and myself. And we want to encourage all of our small group or small community leaders to be there because we want to give opportunity for people that don't know about our small group ministry here in our church to come and attend that meeting. So please come and be welcome to come and join us. If you are thinking maybe I'll switch a group or maybe I've never been to small groups before and I want to know a little bit more, you can engage with it there on Tuesday night, right? Wednesday night. Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Can you say that again, Rick? Is it 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Okay. I think they got it. Okay. God bless you as you go into your week.